that the truth?
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside.
Stand as we sing that. Let him know we appreciate him.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Yes, Lord Jesus,
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Oh, you lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
That first verse with all your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
A heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord, this afternoon. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We invite you, Lord Jesus. Speak to us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord. We lift you up, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Oh, I love you. I adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, you lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside.
He's a comfort to us.
Amen.
I'm just going to try to fill in for Brother Terrence here. We got a prayer request from Brother Anderson that he'll be traveling to Nevada for work, so please keep him and his family in your prayers. Amen. Sister Milka says, please remember Michael as he starts on his college journey tomorrow. Amen. This is hot. Amen. We'll certainly be praying for that. Your prayers and God's grace have brought us thus far. That's right.
Amen.
Sister Milk also says, please continue to remember Tanu's dad, which is, I believe, a co-worker. And she's back in India with him. Sister Regina just shared a little note. She saw something on a church sign. If prayer was your job, would you still be employed? That's good. Brother Johnny says, please pray for the mother of Dina Ferentino. Ruby Ferentino is in hospital with heart problems and needs healing. Please pray for Jay Ward. He has drug problems and in rehab, needs healing and salvation, and the Ward family. Please pray for the Reasons family from Brother Donnie. Larry passed last night. Brother John Durrett says, remember in prayer a young minister in Trinidad named Joel Nanton.
Right.
I think he has a liver cancer and needs a touch from the Lord for complete healing.
Yes.
Brother Tim Martinez, his family is out sick with a stomach bug. And Sister June says, remember Jeff Wright, one of their customers, has cancer, and a friend of Pawpaw's attempted overdose on heroin. And as I remember, Sister Alicia Durrett. I'm sorry, this is from Sister Alicia. She says, remember my mom in prayer. She is back in the hospital with the heart disease, and please pray that the swelling in her legs goes down. Also pray for a closer walk with the Lord for her. Yes. Amen. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we know, Lord Jesus, that you are a prayer-answering God. And Lord God, we've got kind of a stack of different needs, Lord Jesus, laying here on the desk in front of me, Lord. But we know, Lord, that you made us a needy people so that we would need you, Lord God. And Lord, we come before you this afternoon not looking at the circumstances, not looking at all the different conditions laying before us, but we're looking to the unseen, to a God that can take control of every need, of everything, every sickness, every heartache, every trouble, Lord Jesus, every request for prayer for salvation, all of these things that are laying before us. And we know that you're more than able, Lord, to heal and deliver, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord Jesus, just joining our faith, Lord, that you'll come upon the scene for every need here, Lord Jesus. Because as we look to your word, Lord, we know that you said to cast our cares upon you, Lord Jesus, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord. And Lord God, we cast all of these cares upon you, Lord Jesus, asking, Lord Jesus, that you'll heal and deliver, Lord God, and bring to pass whatsoever is needful in each situation, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'll, Lord, just to feel liberty in the service this evening, Lord God, that you'll come upon the scene in a mighty way, Lord God. And we come expecting, Lord Jesus, and that you'll just give Brother Dale freedom, Lord God, to,
yes,
Lord, just
Lord.
Give it to us straight this evening. Whatsoever he has need of, we have need of, Lord, that you'll, Lord, just give him freedom and liberty to speak
Thank
it, Lord, we ask.
Thank you,
grant it, Lord, we ask these things in your name, believing.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's try 272. Fill my cup. Amen. As our brother said, a stack of requests. But we know a God that each one of those requests, he is the solution behind it. Amen. He is that answer. Amen. And we're in a place that we can just get ourselves out of the way and he can come down and fill us up. Amen. We'll just sing the chorus on that. Fill my cup.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Lord, thank you, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Lift it up and make me whole.
With all your heart, just worship our Lord. Thank you, Father.
Oh, fill my cup, Lord.
Make that your prayer this service. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we come as empty vessels, Lord. Fill our cup this afternoon, Lord. Come and quench us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
This thirsting of my soul, O bread of heaven, O feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up and make me whole.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Fill my cup. I love that song. Fill it up. He's that bread of heaven. Feed us till we want no more. Thank you, Jesus. We're certainly glad to be back in God's house with you all today. And I'm the backup crew. Sarah's filling in and I'm here. But we're all part of one family. So that means we have to sing with all of our heart. Everybody. Amen. And we're going to sing, Give Us That Old Time Religion. You know, back when it didn't matter so much how the music was. That's old time religion. Amen. You just sung with all your heart and God put it together. So we're going to do that. Amen. Start with the chorus. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's the old time Holy Spirit. And the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. But it's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. It's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. It's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It's good enough for me. So give me that. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. So give me that. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Just the musicians, let's clap your hands. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Please stand. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Brother Mark, you want to help us out? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I love it. It said it will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. That's all the way from birth to death. You start out lying and it'll catch you when you're dying. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's try 166. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout that victory. Amen.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. Oh yes, when we all get to heaven.
Yes, Lord.
What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds may overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. Oh, so when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Oh, just one glimpse of Him in,
yes, Lord, hallelujah,
will the toils of life repay.
Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory.
Onward to the prize.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's going to be a wonderful time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. We sung that a little bit this morning. We'll sing the whole song this time because it's that victory. Praise the Lord. That's number 22. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Okay, we're gonna start that one over because we can do that one by the grace of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We should sing that in, what did we do that? G? Let's try G. I think, what did we do this morning? Was it F or G? All right, let's do that.
Amen.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on. Well, we're still not doing it. Okay, we're gonna let this Lord give us grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're gonna try that. You want to start it in F, sister? Start it in F. Try that. So sing with all your heart. Bleed me out. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his prison power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. Yes, Lord Jesus. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, and about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard an old story. I heard an old story. How my Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary. Oh, to save a wretch like me. Oh, and then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. You can stand. Forever he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you got to just keep pressing through by his grace. Amen. You ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as we get our hearts ready for the word of God. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, my Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
And I want
see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Good to be it. See everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn in Ephesians. We'll go to 2 Peter 1, and then we'll go to Ephesians 4. Amen. Brother Dick had to go home. His back got to bothering him. So remember them traveling and all and doing that. Then Brother Boyd had to leave because he was being real sick. And I also remember him. He's heading home too. So these, just keep them in your prayers and all. Amen. Let's see. Remember now that Wade and June will be traveling back tomorrow from Kentucky. And remember that Brother Luis is preaching over it. Brother Burley's today, and then he'll be ministering this coming Wednesday. So remember that Brother Luis preached Wednesday for us. Amen. Any other announcements? Let's see. No, it won't be next Sunday, so I won't announce. I mean, next Saturday, I won't announce it. But we do have a brother, Brother Matthew Bray, coming to be with us on the 8th, I believe it's the correct time, which would be week from this coming Sunday, not this coming, but the next one. All right, so remember them, Matthew Bray. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for everything.
Thank you.
We just ask you to help us, Lord, to understand and to be guided by thy grace and love. And we pray that you would be with these that are sick, Lord. Brother Dick, they're having a lot of trouble with his back, and just be with them going back home. And our brother Boyd then being sick, Lord. And we ask you to just reach down and touch these and take care of the problems. Brother Al's real sick. Touch him and just have your way. There's many, many sicknesses among us. You know, we pray for them continually. We hold them up before you because we believe it. We believe by your stripes they're healed, and we thank you for it. Guide us now as we read your words. You come and speak to each one of our hearts. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Excuse me, Peter. Well, we can go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 4, let's go to that one first, because it does get the point. Ephesians 4, verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Excuse me, third verse. I'm getting all messed up today. 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Remember, that's the point we're trying to get, is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, one thought, right? All right. Now let's go to Second Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Now the prophet said these promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we want to pick up our thought, if we can, that was why I was juggling back and forth which way to go. But I want you to understand first, the reason we went to Ephesians, that there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. All right. Now, then, in understanding, there can't be many faiths. There's only one faith. All right. Now, remember our point and emphasis of what we were trying to bring out this morning. Faith is the substance. The is singular. It's not faith is a substance. The prophet said, you know, a substance, that won't work. A substance is not something you can walk on. You can't depend upon it. You can have a substance of the basis of what little bits you can think of for the time, but it won't hold when the finality is raised up before you. So we want the faith.
Amen.
All right? Now, that was the point. The faith. Or, as we read in Peter, he says, with these of like precious faith. All right? Now, that like precious faith is the faith that that Peter said he had it, all right? Now remember that part. He said he had it, okay? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness, all right? He had that faith. He's addressing it to those with that same faith. All right, now. See, if you believe that the old doctrine that there's one years ago that we all faced in a way, and all that, you know, there was no Holy Ghost doctrine, and the Holy Ghost wasn't here like it was back yonder, and everything, and all we had was just a confession or an Old Testament form of salvation and all of those things. I didn't agree with it then. I certainly don't agree with it now, because that would require many faiths to be able to place one to each one. All right. But we believe in one faith, one substance. Faith is the substance, right? Not a substance now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All right? Now, what happens is one day you believe it, and it'd be doing fine. You know, you can believe it. But if that ever passes on through into a deeper realm, it'll come out to be where that you actually have the substance of it within your possession. Sister Jeannie lost Sister Scoggins, she lost her keys to her car. Well, she searched, and Brother Larry searched, and everything, and we all prayed and, you know, asked God to reveal where it was at and all like that. Well, it just goes on for a while, and it wasn't there. But then all at once one day she goes in and reaches over to another pocketbook there, and there's the key that she had changed some things and done some things and had dropped her keys down in the pocketbook. Well, you know, it was there all the time. Right. And she knew somewhere that was being, because that's what she told me. She said, God knows. And that's the way she prayed. God, you know where my keys are at. Well, see, he knew where it was at. Right. To him, it was a substance. But to her, it was a confession. That a God that can do all things can bring me to act my keys, you know, and do. Well, you know what? But today, she has the keys. See, today it's a substance. All right? That's the emphasis I was trying to make this morning of what we're talking about, that those of like precious faith. And see, we used to face that doctrine back there and believe, well, you know, you just had something that, you know, like an Old Testament person, you didn't have the new birth and all like that, and you had to wait till you got up to the top of the pyramid before you could say you had the Holy Ghost and new birth and things. Well, see, I couldn't handle that because, to me, I'm kind of like, you know, maybe this basis, maybe stubborn about it, but, well, let me use Sister Jeannie as an example. Then it won't be me stubborn. One day she had a confession. She believed in the God that had saved her soul. Right? She had then a confession. Right? And she had the believing in the God that she had believed in and accepted her salvation. Right? But yet she didn't have the substance of the keys. Right? But the God that was there, he knew right where they were at. And all he has to do is wait until we get all out of the way, and then he just hands things to us and, you know, and all. And if we get out of that part to start with, that we're trying to make it work instead of just relaxing and letting him have it, the things will work out. All right. Now, that's what I mean by faith being a substance. It's something that the Bible says things hope for. All right. See, you hoping for something, but yet you don't have it to show to somebody else. But then you can come into that position. Have you ever done that to where you know something's right, or you know what it is, or situation? You know it. You know, and there's no argument of anybody can take that away from you because you believe it, but yet you don't have something to produce to somebody else. I remember years ago, see, we were supposed to have been out of here in 73 and a half, you know, and all of those things. And along about that time, I had a dream of us having a little girl, you know, maybe some 7 or 8 years old. This was about 1972, somewhere right in there, 73. It was before the 73 and a half was to come about, but anyhow, I went about and told a dream, but not only did I have a dream of us with a little girl, I had a dream with Brother Moulton and him having a little boy. They were just about the same size. Well, everybody was laughing at us, or at least me, because they said, well, you know, 72 or something when I had the dream, said, the little girl couldn't, you're going to miss a rapture because you're going to pass that 73 and a half, you know, you're going to miss it. Well, I said, well, all I'm doing is what the Bible says. The Bible says to tell a dream as a dream. All right. Now that's tell a dream as a dream. So I said, all right, I'm telling the dream and I saw it. Well, you know, it wasn't long till here comes this little girl, a little baby, you know, and she grows up and, you know, she's sitting back there today. Well, up in the church in Tennessee there, there's a little boy by the name of Forrest that Brother Moulton's son, you know. Well, the thing about it is, see, I had the substance. Maybe I didn't go out and tell everybody it's thus saith the Lord, but I had the substance. Why? Because I saw it. Okay? Whether it was a dream or what. I was standing at the house one day, and I don't know what happened, but all at once I looked over at, looking out the window to Anna and Richard's house. It's across the road. And I looked over there, and I saw Abby. So Abby walking through there. Well, up beside of her was this lady walking alongside of her. And it was Lisa. Well, why I had that away, I don't know. But see, there had to be a day when that took place. Because what I saw was a reality. Well, you know, they walked a lot of times across there. Which one was the choice? I don't know. I ain't concerned about that. I'm just telling the story. All right. See, there's a difference in having a mental concept of something. And maybe a dream makes it a stronger concept or thought. A vision makes it stronger and stronger. Each one becomes more and more real to you until eventually you walk right into it. Well, see, to me, that's what faith is. That's what faith, that's the point of faith. That you can't show it to somebody else, but yet you have it. Well, all right, you can't show me your new birth. Now, wait a minute. Come on, get the point. You can't show me your new birth. You say, well, I can show you that I've been a real good person, that I don't cut my hair, I don't wear pants, I don't do this, I do. We walk right over here to this church, and there may be 10 over there that doing the same thing, right? See, it's something that a substance is something when it becomes a reality to you. Now get this point before we can move on into the next part of the thought. When God gives you his own life in the new birth, and you know how I believe that, I've always taught it because that's what I believe from the beginning. I believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. I believe the disciples took the Word as the Bible said, and they held it. And when it did, the Holy Ghost come and fell on it and made that Word alive. All right. I've always taught it that way because that's the way I've always believed it. But that is the new birth. It's the birth, the making alive of the Word to you, just like it would be if you put a grain of corn in the ground and that water comes and things and makes that come alive. That's where I believe the new birth is the new birth of that. Well, I've always believed it that way and I always tried to teach it in that form to get you to see, you know, the things that I'm talking about. All right. And by doing that, sometimes sometimes you lose people in your thinking because you're thinking of one thing and trying to tell it and others are thinking about faith in another way. But just settle down and think about it. So that's why I choose to speak this morning that little bit about there is just one faith. There's one Lord. There's one baptism. Now, there's many faiths out there today in the land. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all kinds of things. Many, many faiths. But none of them will line up in the scriptures as being the faith. Right? So that's what we're trying to find now is the faith. The prophet in the stature of a perfect man says, now the fact that all of us are searching out the way to find the way to God and the things that he wants us to have. All right? Because that's a substance. But see, we're going to have to stand here. Somebody is now. Why can't we say it's us? Somebody's going to stand on the earth one day and say, I'm changed. But everybody's going to be looking at them and say, you ain't. You know. But they ain't going to see what you're talking about. Yeah. Something's got to happen. What do you think the change is going to be? You know. It's got to be the point that somebody has to see it, believe it, and walk into it. Because as I said a minute ago now, you can't show your new birth. Because other people can impersonate that. Just the basis of showing the same thing you're showing, or I'm trying to show, and not have one bit of Christianity. If you read the stature of a perfect man, you heard the prophet say what? Said a lot of people can have a portion of these virtues and not even be born again. Right? Now, a lot of people can have a portion of these things, and it looks like true Christianity. You know somebody in your mind, you're thinking now that you can think of that they are a real good person, real sincere, real sweet, humble, and everything, and even make us ashamed of our own lives and things, you know, and know that they're not a believer of the truth. Right? But yet, as far as their lives and their doing, it looks good, right? But see, that's a confession without a possession, right? That's that part of what I was saying a while ago, that we can confess something, but if we don't have it within us to see that the way that we need to have it, then all we have is a confession. But when Christ comes to live in you, as Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, right? Now, that's the faith. All right. Now, trying to get that point, so now hold that point of what we got now. See, then as we've read, he said, of like precious faith. Like precious faith. Which like means the same, right? So it's the same faith. So then I've always taught it to you. Everybody that gets the new birth gets it identically the same. Now I know you're not going to see a lot of people back up from me when I make a statement like that. I'm talking about the birth. I ain't talking about what you've done. Every baby is born the same. Water breaks, blood breaks, life comes, right? Now, there's differences in the way they happen or what, breech babies, cesareans, all kind of things. But even in cesarean baby, it's still water, blood, and life. Come on. The ever new birth is the same. Huh? Because that would be, you'd be dealing with something different. What could you make it? But if you make all of them the same, then you don't have to worry about the birth. Yeah, but I just don't see it that way. I said, well, I'm sorry. That's just me, okay? But I'd like to hear you explain it. Because you see, you know yourself, you're going to have to face what I've taught for 40 years. That the new birth is a new birth. The new birth is the birth of the Word. The new birth is Christ coming living in you. Now, you going to make anything else than that? Because you're still on the basis of, what is the new birth? I cried, I spoke in tongues, I shouted, I had a good feeling. You're not listening to what's said. The new birth is the new birth. See, then everybody has the new birth the same. So then Peter is speaking of them. He said, them of like precious faith. In other words, the same kind of faith. There's not but one faith. There's not many faiths. You want that? I've got them laying in the park there and some at home. You want a bunch of them on where Brother Brown talks about like precious faith 26 times. And see, you can't say a faith. It's the faith. It's something that's real to you. Yet as your new birth, you can't explain that to somebody. Right? People look at you. And you say, well, I'm so happy and I'm rejoicing and having a wonderful time in my salvation and all like that. And everything is just so wonderful. Well, it sure ain't to me. I said that one time to a lady. I said, the Bible said all things work together for the good, you know. She said, how could it work together with what I've got? Well, it couldn't. It couldn't work for her in that point because she didn't have what I was talking about. Huh? See, a Christian should be a Christian. It don't make no difference what, when, or how. And you can only do that through Jesus Christ. You can't do that through yourself. See, we're defeated. Nobody's a match for the enemy. Right? You say, well, boy, bless God, he can't tackle me. No, he can't tackle you. He's already got you, if that's the way you think. He's already holding you. All right. Now, faith then being a substance, and that substance of your new birth is the same substance that everybody received. Because everybody's had the birth of the Word. You know what I'm talking about? Each age come down, no matter what you want to deal with, what little bit it was here, what it was over here, or quote this over here, you know. It gets silly how people can quote things so wrong. But, you're following me through now, so we'll move on a point. I believe every new birth is the same. But, some cried, some shouted, some lied, some, you know, many different manifestations came forth. That's right. But the birth is the same. All right? See, because that's what it's saying. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. All right? Then that way it places it to where we're all the same in God. It doesn't make a difference of this group over here or that group over there. All right. So now here's Peter, as we get to our point now. Here's Peter writing in the scriptures, and no novice was ever used to write the word, right? Always, he never used any of those. It was always somebody, if you'll check it out, except Paul wasn't there, be somewhere else, but God revealed a word to him. But all the rest were used were basically those from the upper room experience or the 120 to write the word, you know. Because a novice is not to write the word. No matter how good he can be, he still doesn't have that foundation. See, Peter had something that was real. He had a substance faith. Right? He had something that was real. Okay. And what did he want to do now? Why was he writing to 2 Peter? He gets into 1 Peter and he talks about, you know, about being born again. I believe it's in 2 Peter, 1 Peter, where he talks about being born again, you know, and the thing. All right. But he comes to 2 Peter and now he's writing a letter to these people. See? All right, and to tell them, now listen to what I'm saying. What's he telling them? Not telling them they need to be born again. Because he says they have the like precious faith. They have the new birth. He's telling them how to get where he's at. Are you listening? Where's he at? Where do all born again babies start? Right here. Where did Peter and them start? Right here. Because remember the story. I've taught it to you over and over. 3.5 years before they ever got their experience to be made manifest. Now, you can't argue that point, right? 3.5 years that they followed the Word of God. To me, that's why it's like that. God put it that way to where those people could be anchored in the Word, and then when the Holy Ghost would fall, it would positionally place them to a place to where they would have a greater understanding or be able to be used. They said about it, they were all there except Paul, but Paul goes to the backside of the desert, stays back there about 14 years. One time he says 3.5 another, and he's talking. And when he comes out, he's preaching the same thing that Peter's preaching. Right? Why? Because Paul was a prophet. He could be taken. God took him back there and took him up. Yeah. Well, he said no man didn't teach him. The Holy Ghost taught him. And Peter said, well, nobody didn't. Well, no, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus taught him. All right? For 3.5 years, then he comes to that place. So what's Peter doing? Peter is going to tell these people how to get where he's at. Right?
Right.
Now, as you go down to these kids are graduatings and things, you know, and you go get a job. Well, boy, it's nice to walk in, you know. That's the way to do today about it, you know. Kids go walking in, you know, and flop down, put their feet up on the desk, and I said, well, I want to tell you a little bit about it. I know all about it. I've done read the books, done studied all about it. What do you want me to do? Mainly go out the door, but you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't do that. But what happens? That you don't get the job. Why? Because you think you know something. All right? And by thinking you knowing something, you turn around and show that you don't know it.
Right?
No, I mean, I can take my shoes off and count to 20. But wouldn't it be something to me to try to line up with Brother Durrett and him telling me to do this, that, and the other? I'd say, what? You need to do that? What? We need to do what? I'm still on, come on, folks. I'm still on the cutting and taping with the computer. And that's no joke. I don't have them here with me, but they're laying in the office. All these notes was cut. And I don't type it up and get it over here and move it over there and it's cutting its paste. And I cut my own. I cut it across and I tape it over there. I cut it another one across and I tape it to it. I'm still taping and cutting and pasting. Taping. All right? See, the point that I'm wanting you to see, who was Peter talking to? He was talking to somebody, he says, that had the same faith he had. Now,
right?
Now, he was talking to people that was of like precious faith. Or the same faith he had. Now, don't get the amount of degree involved into what you're doing, because it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Well, he had more this way, he had more that way. He was taught for 3.5 years. Yes, he had more natural understanding of the kingdoms and the things than he did. But here comes the Apostle Paul. And what does Peter say? He said, Paul says things that's hard to be understood, that others wrestle with, you know. He said, in other words, I don't wrestle with it. I just kept my mouth shut because I know he knows more than I do. Well, where'd he get it? He got it from God.
Amen.
All right. Now, so listen to the point. See? So let's read this. Now, let's just go back and we'll read from where we did this morning. So go ahead to Brother Philip number one on the stature of a perfect man. This is start paragraph 31 through about 37 or 38. And he's bringing the first part of it. And what he's talking about to me is an amazing thing. Because Brother Branham, in teaching the message. Now listen, you go back to 19, and I'll say 56 because I remember that one. Intervale. All right. Interrest, intervale. And there Brother Branham is talking about a people that God wants to bring to be a living, moving instrumentality of Christian faith. 56. He didn't have to wait to come over here to know a lot of things. He knew a lot of things. But look at the thing he didn't catch. Now to show it, look at what he didn't catch. Okay? Because this is the way he says it. So listen, let's read it. Now we're approaching the seven seals, and this is a message on teaching that ties the man in that's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and is going to be in that church age, that eternal church age at the end of the seals. Now we know that we have seven trumpets, seven plagues, vials, and so forth that we get into as we go along. But we're waiting for more room and all for the people. All right. I thought this would tie in. Well, listen to him. I thought this would tie in just where I was expecting. I didn't expect to draw this skeleton. So he drawed out 2 Peter, right? Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. That's what he drawed out, right? But he said, I didn't expect to draw this. Why? Because it was not in his understanding to use it, right? Because listen to him. I didn't expect to draw this skeleton, but the other day I was with some precious friends of mine, Cox's down in Kentucky. I went down, thought maybe get in one more day of squirrel hunting before the season closed. I was up in the woods with my friend Charlie, standing there, and Rodney and brother. I didn't even see a squirrel. I think I scared him away when I got to shouting up there in the woods. This is what come to me. Now watch it. Boys and Sister Nellie and Margie, when I told you I'd tell you Sunday when I got to it, that's what come to me on a message I was going to speak on. Okay, now, and knowing the rest of it would tie right into it. Now, a message he was going to speak on. He already was speaking it. Brother Branham, in there, that's my point. You back up to 47 and listen to Brother Branham. He's talking about Christianity, living the life of Christ and the thing, in a higher realm than anybody you ever heard talk about it, right? Because that was what caught my attention. That here's a, what, seventh grade education or something guy, and he's teaching theologians the word. And they're sitting in amazement listening to him. Then with any common sense, of course, the rest of them left. And he's in the 40s. He's teaching things that people never thought of. He's teaching adoption in the 40s and the 50s. Statute of Perfect Man is 62. Listen to my point. He was already had these things in mind, but yet he didn't have it down in using 2 Peter to be able to put it faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, right? But he already knew that. That's what he was teaching. He was teaching the stature of a perfect man back in the 50s and the 40s. But he didn't bring it down as to 2 Peter and using it that way. You say, well, what does that mean? That means a lot to me, because as he began to see things and they begin to open up, he began to see more on what he was talking about. See? More of what he was trying to bring out throughout the services that he was trying to preach it to the people and teaching them. And then as he starts bringing it out, it unfolds to more and more and more. All right. So that was what he was saying. He said, now, I didn't expect to use this. But said, I got this up in the woods. What? Tying together 2 Peter. Well, all of the things that he had was trying to bring out about the life of Jesus Christ, living in each individual, and not being that we went to church. Now, come on. You know what I'm talking about is true. Now, just don't balk on me. Listen. You know, some of you older ones especially, you went in a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, even Pentecostal, and you just sat there and you're, and you heard some things, you, well, that's a good point. But basically, you were just enduring. Now, you tell me I'm wrong on that, I'll meet you today in judgment. But I don't mind telling you what I've done. I wanted them to get on with it and tell us something good. Because I read the book. They could at least read the book. My brother was a Methodist preacher. And man, he could beat anything around the country without preaching. He had a gift. And I'd rather hear him than them other guys. Although I had problems with his Playboy magazines that were sitting in his house, but that was, you know, I ain't joking. His kids gave him this big old thing to put his books in one time for Christmas. And I ain't telling no joke. I'm just saying that's the way people was. That's the way life was back there. We went to church. We just done the best we could do. All right? But yet here come a prophet. That's what I said this morning. That when I come into the message, I didn't say I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When that man started talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I knew I didn't have it. Yet I had seen great things take place in my life. I had seen things happen to where that it was marvelous. Seen God when I was about 11 years old, standing in a church. I can talk about what God done for me. But yet when I heard that man started talking about it, Christ, I began to see Christ in a greater realm than I'd ever seen him in my life. And when I did, I realized right then, I don't have what this man's talking about. But now, sorry. But to most people, when they come into the message, they just come into the message and say, I believe Brother Brown was a prophet. Well, you better believe I believed he was a prophet. Like I said this morning, I've read 6 books and listened to 2 tapes in one day. You want to try it? I ain't joking. I spent my first 2 or 3 years in this message just locked down on reading and studying. Brother Collie's sitting there. He knows because he had my books and things were right there with him. And I could sit there every night and read. All right. But you see, there was something the man was saying about the Holy Spirit that I knew I didn't have it. Because he was talking about something personal. We was talking about, we're going to heaven one day. Glory, hallelujah, we're going up to heaven. And like Wade tells you about, you know, people saying, "That's ain't that something today? Granny's walking on the streets of glory, shouting down through this, with her heel or whatever, you know. Well, Granny ain't doing that. Now, he ain't putting her nowhere else, but that's just a point. That's an old way of looking at it, like you think Grandma's up in heaven shouting up and down through the woods. No. I don't know what she's doing, but that's the point. But listen. Now get the point of what I'm saying. He knows that he has been teaching the depth of Christianity and trying to get people to see Jesus Christ. And then he sees the stature of a perfect man and it opens up as a way to help him. But we thought we got everything when we believed. Right, didn't you? Didn't you think you got everything because you went up and shook the preacher's hand? I mean, did you know when you were in the denomination? I'm asking you. Did you know you needed to study God's Word to get any growth development? Or was you just going to church because everybody else went to church? Right? See, my life was dedicated to that. That's why at 23 years of old age, I was made a deacon in a Baptist church, which generally didn't make a deacon until you're at least 45. And that's no joke. They seen I meant that much, and they knew it. I was teaching the adult Sunday school classes. The deacon's wives and the husband's wives are what was in those classes. And here I am, just a young boy. They seen that. That I had a desire. And I always had a desire for God's Word. But I couldn't find nobody else that had anything. There wasn't a lot of Pentecostals around us. 1 or 2 in Gainesville at the most. Nowhere else was there anything to go to. See? And we just done the best we could do. But when Brother Branham began to talk about not a God up in heaven, one of these days we're going to heaven. We're going to go to the happy hunting ground, you know. And we're all, and that's the way they preach. Like I told you, I've heard them preach on the, put on the whole armor of God. I've heard that preached many times. I don't even like to read that scripture. Cause I've heard every way in the world to get that armor on. And I never didn't know what the armor was. They didn't either. I ain't joking. Telling the truth. All right? But see, a prophet, when he comes along, he catches something. He catches what Peter was doing. Peter was talking to people that were born again. And that's what he said. Those of light, precious faith. He was talking to people that were born again. And to try to tell them how to get where he was at. Well, is that not what the prophet done? When the prophet saw these things, is not that the point that he's trying to, even today when you put a tape on or whatever, isn't he still not trying to get you and me to the, come to the position he was in Jesus Christ? Amen. To lay aside everything and put it in Christ and walk into the Word? Every time I hear a tape, I hear him still saying that. Right. See? Because he was trying to teach us how to get where he was. And that's what I said about Paul. See, Paul, he can't get it from Peter now. But he leaves and goes in the desert. But he's out there by himself with God, and God gives it to him. And brought him out of there where Brother Brown said they were teaching the same thing. No. Faith. Like precious faith. Now let's go ahead and run it on up till we can get to... My whole subject this morning is based on faith. So run it on up. Let's get to where we was this morning. Back down. Uh-oh. Back down. There you go. Which way are we going, up or down? All right. Now listen. Come down just a little bit further. Other way. Under way. Okay. We'll get to this point in a minute. But I want you to start here to where we can start talking on that. And he's talking about a divine nature. Now, we're going to get to that in a few minutes if we get time. He's talking about the promises. He's reading 2 Peter. Watch what he says. The world. We've escaped now. He's addressing this to the church. Now, the church is them that are in Christ Jesus. Right? The church is a born-again believer. He's addressing his message. Bring it on back down because there's more pure... Paragraph 31. Sorry about that, brothers. Okay, hold it. Back up the other way now. Back up to where we get it. Okay. Going to speak on? Come a little further. I get them all mixed up because I say up and they say down. To them, down is up. Where it's rolling. Come on. Come on. Come on up. <the other. laughs> Keep coming. Nah, hold it right there. Now look at what Brother Branham's doing. He's reading 2 Peter. And what does he say? Notice, he's saying that I have obtained this faith. And I'm addressing this to them that has obtained the like precious faith. In other words, the same faith. He's saying, I have the faith. I have obtained this faith. And I'm teaching them how to take what they've got and a growth development. Now watch. To them that obtain the like precious faith. It's not to the outside world. This is to the church, see, those that are in Christ Jesus. All right, now, I emphasize over and over this morning, I'll do it one more time. The Bible is not written to a sinner. It only tells a sinner he's lost. It's not written to him. It's written to those that are in Christ Jesus. It's written to born-again believers because born-again believers are the only one that can understand. Remember the scripture this morning? No man can call Jesus the Christ except it be what? By the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham said, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the only way you can know that Jesus is the Christ. See, the only way you can have the like precious faith is to have the new birth. He didn't listen. It's not to the outside world. This is to the church. See, those that are in Christ. All right. Those that are in Christ. Now roll it on up and we'll try to pick up where we were reading from. Keep on going. Now pull it back down and we'll stop here and then we'll, there you go. Let this soak real deep now. Not preaching this morning. We're just teaching this lesson. All right, I hope everybody's satisfied with like precious faith. Peter says, I have that faith and I'm addressing this to people that have that faith. And then he's going to tell the people how to become where he's at in the stature of a perfect man. And then he goes in, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, etc. All right? Now, watch him. Watch what he calls it. Let that soak real deep now. Not preaching this morning, but just teaching the lesson. Divine nature. Let me read that fourth verse again so you won't miss it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now this person he's talking about, how is it you can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust? How can you escape it? The only one way, get born again. Right? If you're not born again, you're not escaping the corruption that is in the world. You're part of the corruption. All right? See, the point of what I'm keep driving it. All right, look. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. See, the world. We've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we're here this morning, to find out what is the way. What is God's requirement? Not just a person in here that loves God and, you know, wants to be good and everything. No. But a divine nature. Okay? Now, let's take that from what we were on and continue our thought. A divine nature. There's only one divine. There's only one nature we have any concern. And that's the nature of God. So Peter sees, telling them, those of like precious faith. All right? Now, there's just one faith. Okay, go ahead to number 1A. Okay. I get them all messed up when I get pulling it, but that, I like it. At least we can do it. All right. Go to, there you go. We're coming up to it now. Okay, same yesterday. Pull on up, I think I've got it marked. I may not, but that's all right. Now in the very, but now in the way, roll it on up. Okay, here we go. I said, what kind of a faith this guy is talking about? And Brother Brown's explaining to him to tell you, you know, something about God and things. And the brother says, well, that's against my faith. Now what? Brother Brown says, what kind of faith do you have? There's only one faith. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Is that right? See, there's only one faith. And that's Christian faith. Okay, now look. That's right. There aren't no Methodist faith. There ain't no Methodist faith. And Baptist faith and Pentecostal faith and Catholic faith being different. It's just one faith. And that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that should be simple enough for the children to understand. All right? There's only one faith. All right? So every born again believer has the same faith. Are you with me? All of that this morning, now sad to get to say that. Every born again believer is the same faith. Because that's the new birth. Faith is a revelation. It's a revelation of God's word. And Brother Brown said, you can't be saved without a revelation. Huh? See, then you say, well, now there's where we get to the point I was back under, trying to get you to see. Then we say, well, what kind of revelation do I need? I need a revelation of Daniel 70 weeks or the seals. Okay. Sorry. But that's just what I think. Brother Branham wasn't talking about a revelation of the seals is what we're getting born again by. They hadn't even broke in the years that he was teaching all these things. What's he talking about? It's a revelation. Christ, a mystery of God revealed. What is the new birth, Brother Branham? He said the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now, he didn't say anything about seals, 70 weeks or whatever. So get it out of your mind. Well, what revelation do I need? Tell me what book to read, Brother Dale, where I can get a great faith. Start in Genesis 1. When you get through there, start over in 47 on the prophet's message. Or bring them together. And you're going to get a faith. Right? At least you'll get something. Okay, now listen. What kind of a faith? There's only one faith. It's just one faith. It's one new birth. It's one birth of the Word. Now listen. See that it's not a seal being revealed that makes you a new birth. It's Jesus Christ being revealed, which is the seals, the plagues, the thunders, the vials, the things being revealed. Right. But it's a person being revealed to you. Not a doctrine or an idea or a concept. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Personally to you. He's a person. If you ain't never seen him like that, when the prophet started preaching and I started listening, then my mind went back to when I was 11 years old. I heard a man talking about the God I saw. I'm sorry if anybody thinks that's exalting or whatever. I'm just telling it like it is. You do what you want to. But I saw something back there, not a person, I saw an image. More. And from that day on, I looked for that person. Well, you know where I found that person? Right where he was all the time. In the Word. I found him right in the book that I had. Called the Bible. And then when I began to grow into that, that was why I had such a burden to try to understand the Bible. I wanted to try to teach others what little bit I saw from it and talk about it because it was just something real to me. It wasn't an imagination or a thought. And see, everybody's not made that way. Come on, I can quote Brother Branham. Brother Run said, everybody's not made to the basis that they see visions or have dreams or do these things. He said, it's different in individuals. It's not made for us all, but you do have your own experience. You're supposed to have your experience, not mine. Don't seek my God. Seek your God, the one that's trying to talk to you. And then maybe one day you'd wind up and be able to find him. To where that you'd find him walking right beside of you in such a presence until it's beyond all things. To experience God walking right beside of you. If you never had it, it's a great thing. I've turned to many a day and looked for it. Turn around and keep walking. He always kept up with me. Because listen, church, I'm trying to tell you about your new birth. I'm not talking about some great doctrinal issue or a point or whatever. It's an amazing thing when the prophet first said that. He said Jesus' first doctrine was you must be born again. And I thought, oh God, what it is to be. But look, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Like I said this morning, if you got two souls, you got two gods because you'd have to have a soul, a God for each soul. Right? If you got two lords, you'd have to have two gods because you got... Yeah. That's how simple it is, if you understand. And that way it'll take away doctrines from you. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I know what the Bible says. Well, go ahead, quote it. You want me to quote it for you? The Lord said unto my Lord. That's no problem. Brother Brown said one day Jesus would be speaking and another time said the Father would be speaking. That's no problem. Just need to get a revelation that there's just one. Huh? Come on, okay. Now, just one faith. But Peter now seems to be speaking when he speaks of the fact of it being the like precious faith. And then he pulls up his point, and as he brings his point up, he begins to talk about this divine nature. This divine nature. Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't we all want to have a divine nature? Isn't that not our goal, our thoughts? Is to have a divine nature? A nature of the divine? See, we want to make it some kind of great, this, oh, we see visions, we see this. I can't talk for Brother Brown, but I can talk for myself. What little bit of ministry that God has given me has drove me gray-headed. See, because I know what it is. And that's why I've tried to explain it. And that's when you go gray-headed, is trying to explain it. To see, to got to get people to see what you're talking about. Look, having escaped the corruption of the world, having escaped that, the lust and corruption of the world, you're above that. Why? Because you're born again. Now that's the type of person that he's talking to. The person that has escaped these things, see, the corruption of the world. He comes up with a divine nature. All right, we'll start on number two. There, you pulled up to three, but let's read number two. Which is the stature of perfect man. Paragraph 46, 45 and 46. You got to be so in love with him until when you ask for something, he doesn't give it to us. That doesn't shake us a bit, see? Why? And the only way you can do that is to become a partaker of his divine nature. Right? Then you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you. Partakers of his divine nature. Partaker is part-taker. You know, not just taking a part, because you can't part out God. It's partaking of his nature within you. It's just not a part. Well, I got a little bit more than you got. No, that's not the point. To become to a partaker of his divine nature, then you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you, partakers of divine nature. And look here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's Peter now as he's reading it. Escaped it, see? Who it's to? It's to the church. Them who are in Christ. Has been exalted above these things. Not he exalted himself, but Christ brought him up. Well, then that can only be talking of a born-again believer. How could it ever get started that the stature of a perfect man, that they could teach it the way they did back then, that you don't have nothing? Oh, one of these days you'll get this. One of these days. Naturally, they're saying, one of these days I'll tell you. You know, one of these days I'll tell you when you got it. See? Because that's one of them little other words, right? All right. Number four of the stature of perfect man, he says, Peter is saying here how that we must be partakers of his divine nature. Now, each one of us are trying to grow into the stature of God. Right? Stature of perfect man. That we might be partakers of Christ's divine nature, these mortal body. That we can be partakers. You say, well, that's impossible for us to be partakers. You don't believe you have the new birth? If you have the new birth, you have the the life of Christ. But then you have within you the very life of Christ. Right? Okay. Keep on going. Stature of perfect man. They can roll them. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature by sending upon us the Holy Spirit that we can become into the divine nature of God. Then we become a dwelling place for God. I'm down on part, still on there. Controlling your conceptions and making you one with Him in fellowship and in love. And God fills you with love. He fills you with power. He fills you with the Spirit. He fills you with His own divine nature. He changes your carnal nature into His nature. Then you become a new creation. A divine nature. Right? If you're born again today, then that just gives you a earnest, right? Part payment, you want to call it. But it should start you to desiring more of God. Amen. You should desire more of God today than ever in your life. Amen. Not be so weedy-meedy down and out, as Brother Forney says, wowsy, wowsy, woo. You know, why is all these things happening to me? Fellowship through redemption. So beneath the blood and be filled with the Holy Spirit and by becoming a partaker of the divine. Not a partaker of the church, a partaker of the divine. The divine nature changing your own vile nature into a nature that loves God, who believes every word that God has said. Partakers of His divine nature. What about it? Approach to God. If you ever really come to God and got a taste of the heavenly gifts of God, partakers of His divine nature, why, you could no more become a sinner again, unbeliever, than a stalk of corn could become a cucumber. His divine nature. Be partakers of His divine nature. Isn't that our desire? To be a Christian? And Peter is addressing it now. See, we're using this because the next message will pick up Stature of Perfect Man, where Brother Brown says, now what's the first thing we need to do? He said, we need to have faith and be born again. All right? You say, well, you're writing that you're talking about the new birth. I'm talking about what the new birth is when you receive it. It is the divine nature of Almighty God. But it puts you to a position to start growing. It puts you to a baby in Christ. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to try to think that we're grown-ups, the prophet said. We're not grown-ups, we're just babies. Right? It's a divine nature. Be of those of like precious faith. In other words, Peter was saying, I have that faith. We read it. And I'm teaching this to people who have that same faith. Now, what's he going to teach? We'll drop right over in verse 7, 6 or 7. And he says, and besides this, add to your faith virtue. It starts a growth development of a Christian. To explain it to us of what we have need of. And it's like I've said to you, Paul and Peter talk the same thing. Paul puts it more in the adoptional stages because he covers it through the Romans and the things and the predestinations and the adoptions and things. Peter is telling us how to become that. How do we become the divine nature of God? By yielding to Him and accepting what He's done for us. By loving Him and wanting to walk so close with Him until we lose all the other things. Come on, church. Peter and them never done it. Jesus never taught it, never. The prophet never taught no religion that would take you so beyond till you won't even have no remembrance or no problems or no troubles. What did the prophet say? He said, people tell you those things. That they'll tell you, you get born again, all your troubles are solved, all your things are over with, all, everything if you just get... He said, that's a lie. He said, that's when he starts. That's when the devil gets on you is when you start claiming you're born again. He'll start getting on to you, trying to make you break down. See? But if we can become partakers of his divine nature by accepting his word. Now, one more last word. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and the new birth is the very substance of Almighty God living within you, then that puts Paul correctly when he said it's Christ in you. That's what he said. He said it's Christ in you. Well, that should be what we want. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? And then let him take care of the things. See? Well, see, we get so involved in all of the mealy-mouths and things. Well, what are we doing here if we're the bride? We're here because you're in that mealy-mouth, down-and-out condition, so get out of it. Is that straight enough? See? How many has been able to keep the faith? Now, you can't say. That's one thing. You're welcome to the pulpit to get up here and say that this man has ever been down and out on the word. You're welcome to come up here and tell. Well, Brother Dale, you're down and out on the word. No, I'm down and out with people, yeah. But not on the word. I have never had a down and out day on God's word. It's God every day, and he reveals himself. Yeah. When you do that, then you can just get up in the night and walk through the house and say, Lord, I love you. Just come and help us, Lord. We got to get out of here. This thing's falling apart. But you know what I do? You know what I do mostly? I pray one prayer. All right? I say, Lord, you saved my family. My wife, the kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. You know why I do that? Because he told me one day, said, you'll be there with your offspring. Now, you can believe what God told me, whatever, that's up to you. I don't care. It don't matter to me. It ain't going to change nothing. He told me, said, you'll be there with your offspring. Well, your kid's going to be saved because of your kids. I didn't say that. Because by saying it and putting it to the point, that means they're going to be more hindered than anybody else to try to come to that place, right? So for me to say it is not the bragging point, it's the point of saying, you're going to get it. Ask June sometime. When Wade would come walking around, I told her. I said, every time I look at him, I said, I just look at him, I grin. I just grin, just walk on. You know why? Because the Lord done told me he'd be there. You ever look at it like that? You ever look at your kids, Brother Ray? When you see them, they're just all kind of going and everything, and you look at them and say, lay it on, Lord. Beat the daylights out of them. Well, bring them to yourself. You see, that's the promise. So, Lord, you made me a promise that I'd be there with my offspring. It's up to you. I'm not arguing with him. I'm reminding him of what he said. You said it, and I believe it. All right? Now, there's another prayer that goes with that. Lord, all these things that are taking place, you said it was for our perfection. You promised us that we'd have troubles and trials on every form, but you promised that we'd come out of it victorious. So I just remind you of what you said. I just remind him of what he said. Well, we've been doing pretty good so far. We hadn't just fell apart because all these things, everything else, and the message people fell apart. We've just been going on. We went through, made it through the 70s. We made it through the 80s. We made it through the 90s. We made it to the 2000s, and we're still going. Still rejoicing and saying, thank you, Lord. Right? Come on, musicians. Think on these things. Like precious faith puts us to a point that our desires and thoughts is for a divine nature, a nature of God to be given to each and every one of us. Do you realize what you're praying? Do you understand what I've just explained? You realize if you prayed, maybe sometimes the way I do, you'd stop praying. Because have you ever prayed for trouble to come your way? No. Well, you're not listening. Right? Hey. You're not listening to what I'm saying. You're taking it the wrong way. So you think I'm wanting trouble to come. I'm the world's worst. I don't like trouble. What is that word for autistics or whatever it is, you know, that they don't like changes and they don't like this, that, and the other. Well, I've been that way all my life. They didn't develop that now. I've been that way all my life. Because I don't like trouble. But if it's going to take it to bring us to where we need to be, bring it on. Bring it on. Put us to the position we're supposed to be at. Let us come to realization of who we are and what we're doing here. That's not asking for trouble. That's knowing trouble is going to come our way. Right? Are you listening? If you pray for God to send you patience, Brother Larry, you want patience? We want to get started now? Yeah. Right? I'm not joking. Tribulation worketh patience. Right? You want patience? You're asking to be put under trouble. You're asking to be put down and right? But are you willing to take it when it comes? Are you willing to rejoice and say, thank you, Lord? When Brother Bradham made a statement one day, it rung in my heart. He said, to think that if I could even think about my name being mentioned in heaven. He said, just to think about it being mentioned. That's wonderful. What do we got? Let's stand.
So glad I'm
yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and you set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm here. You just think about that early church when they were praying for God to come among them. And here comes all the persecution, all the dying, all the killings. And they'd go back to God and they'd say, God, I didn't mean it that way. He said, you asked for what you asked for. This is the only way you can get it. Is the way I'm bringing it. Makes a difference, don't it? Makes a different world and things. You free. So glad I'm you. Anybody have a need? A partaker of his divine nature. So glad I'm you. So glad I Father, we send this prayer cloth for what Josh is asking for. You make manifest what he's asking. Because we believe in him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing it unto him and think about him. Glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad
I'm still
fighting. I'm yours.
So glad your mercy has followed me.
We're just being Christians.
So glad you found me and set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we send these prayer cloths. Be with them, Savior, Lord. Make everything to be all right. Just let your loving grace be in the family and the love in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Just Christians, it's going to come. But when it comes, we rejoice in the thing that our name could be called in heaven. Did he take enough of us to allow the devil to get on us? He must have confidence in us.
So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy there followed me. So glad you found me. Set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad you're. So glad you found me.
She's trying.
And you
said. You said you'd be there if we'd just try. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Lord, so glad I'm you.
Remember to pray for Wade and them traveling tomorrow, and Brother Louise traveling this afternoon, coming home. And remember to pray one for another and all, that the Lord would be with us all. Remember the sick among us. Keep people up in your mind and things, and just get a picture. I get a picture, and I know everybody and where you sit. You know. And I could sit down and draw a picture and tell you where every one of you sit. You know. But that's where I pray that way. And you know what I do? I go down to benches and I just Pray, Lord. That's all sitting on this bench. I come back to the other side, you know, maybe later. And Lord, just bless everybody sitting on these benches. You just get people on your mind. Pray for them. You'll see a change. Father, we've tried. We just do the best we can do. We ask you to help us, Lord, now to go on our way home and take care of everybody, give everybody a safe journey home. We were Wade and June traveling, Brother Luis and them traveling, and all these others, Brother Dick and them, and the different ones, and the things, Father, Brother Howell, and all over, and just bless each one, and just touch each one. Remember Brother Dale, Sister Mary, and Brother Darty, all of these with their, Brother Darty and his eyesight, and all these others with the different things that the doctors have said we have. But that's something that we don't confess. We confess what you say we are, and we believe it. That by your stripes we're healed, and we love you, and we thank you. Have your way, and guide us now, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You just amen. Mm-hmm.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So